Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. We are continuing this morning our study on the conversion of Saul. A few weeks back, we looked at the phrase that the Lord utters to Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, and looking at exactly what that meant in the counsel of God and how the Spirit of God works in the drawing and guiding to Jesus Christ, and then as we walk along with Christ. This morning we are going to be looking at another portion of that same passage that has some similarities to what we've already looked at, but looks at it from a bit of a different perspective. And hopefully it will be a blessing to us as we see and hear the voice of Jesus. And see what the difference is between those that do hear and those that do not. So we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent? That he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. When we think about this passage, it will do us well to think about an overview of Saul's conversion, so that we have all things in context. And we did study this a few weeks back, but just so we have it in our minds, what is taking place here. Saul was a Jew. By his own admission, he was a Jew of the Jews, if you will. He was someone that was well respected in Judaism, in the religion of the Jews. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He had traveled from Tarsus. His father was a Pharisee, and Saul was a Pharisee. He was zealous for the scriptures. He was zealous for the Jewish religion. He was zealous to persecute Christians because he thought that they were heretics. He thought that they were opposed to the true religion of the Jews. And so he has seen Stephen. He has seen Stephen's death and confirmed Stephen's death. And he saw Stephen sitting there as the face of an angel. He heard Stephen proclaim that he saw the heavens opened and Jesus at the right hand of God. He saw the stones. He held the coats for those that were stoning him and took the authority upon himself to do the same to Christians in Jerusalem. And he did a very good job of it. To the point where the Christians in Jerusalem were scattered because of Saul, because of his persecution. The gospel went forth because of it. We see how God works and moves in mysterious ways, that the gospel goes forth because of persecution. And Saul then goes to, here in chapter 9, he goes to the chief priest and he says, I want letters so that I can go to all the synagogues in Damascus so that I can bind those that call on the name of this Jesus and bring them back here and put them on trial, most likely for their deaths. And so he does this and he's going along the road to Damascus and he's getting near the city and the Lord appears, a light from heaven. And Saul bows down and the Lord speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul recognizes that this person that's speaking to him is Lord. He doesn't know who he is at this point. We don't know if Saul actually saw Jesus at any time. But we know that he doesn't recognize Jesus in front of him. So he asks, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus responds, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And it's an interesting thing that Jesus claims for himself, his people, doesn't he? So that when something happens to one of his children, it's as if it's happening to Jesus. That his people are being persecuted, so Jesus is actually being persecuted. We can think about that at another time. And so Saul bows before him. And the Lord says, it is hard to kick against the pricks. And we've looked at that. What exactly that means about guiding and drawing and pushing towards the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing who he is and being saved by his blood. And so Saul is there and he hears this and he asks, what would Jesus have him to do? And so Jesus says to go into the city. And it will be shown thee what to do. And we'll look at that a little bit this morning. But you think about this, the next phrase that Paul utters, that the men that were with him saw the light and heard a voice. And we're going to really examine that this morning. But when Saul opens his eyes, he's blind. And these men lead him into the city. And they lead him into the place that he was originally going to go. He's not now confirmed to be a Christian to everyone's knowledge. And so they're thinking he's going to go and he's going to be still doing the same things. But we will leave the story there because we'll be looking at other aspects of it later on. This morning we're going to be looking at what people, modern people, would think of as a contradiction. And it's not something that you would notice right off here in Acts chapter 9. But I'll read the verse that they would think of as a contradiction. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 7. It says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And so they heard a voice. They saw some light, but they didn't see Jesus. They didn't see him as Saul saw him. But in Acts chapter 22, Saul, now Paul, is back in Jerusalem. And this is the event where he is now put in chains. He's put in prison. And he is acted, before this happens, he is at the, probably in Solomon's porch at the temple. And he is telling the Jews what has happened to him and why he is there. And he goes through his conversion experience and tells them what he had done in wreaking havoc on the people of God. And that he was on the way to Damascus to do the same. And he says this in verse 9. He says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake with me. Did you notice the contradiction there? In verse 7 of chapter 9, Luke is telling us that the people heard a voice. But in Acts chapter 22, in verse 9, when Paul is relating his conversion experience, he says that the people that were there saw the light, but did not hear the voice. So how is that possible? How does the one who is getting his, Luke was getting his information from Paul, how does he say that they heard a voice in chapter 9, and Paul in chapter 22 say that they did not hear the voice? Well, the answer to the contradiction is in the word. And I don't like to speak about Greek words because it doesn't really benefit us very much in a sermon like this. But I want you to understand that we think of a telephone. Well, that's the root word of a telephone is the word phone. And that's actually a Greek word. And that's the word for noise. That's the word for sound. And so in the actual definition of the word phone in Greek is a sound, a tone, a speech, a voice, or a natural sound. So it can be a number of things. We think of the phone, we think of speaking. But phone is actually just noise, a natural sound, someone speaking, something else that could be going on. So in translation, you have to look at the context. Look at what it is the context is saying to help us to understand what's taking place. So, as an example, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15, John is looking at the Lord Jesus in his revealed state, and he says his feet were like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now that word there, phone, is used twice in that verse. It's for his voice and also for the sound. So it's translated voice at one part of the verse and sound is the other part of the verse. The context has told the translators how to translate the word. Well, when you think about this, here is Saul in chapter 9, and he sees this light and he sees Jesus and he speaks with Jesus. But those that were with him hear the sound, but do not understand the voice. That's how later on in chapter 22, when Paul is relating his conversion experience, he says to those that are gathered together that they saw the light, but they did not understand the voice. They did not hear the voice. You see, they heard the noise of speech taking place. They heard that someone was speaking to Saul, but they didn't understand what was taking place. They didn't understand the words that were going back and forth between Saul and this person that they didn't see. They heard a voice or sound, but they did not hear the voice. You get the distinction there? Between hearing a voice but not hearing the voice? Because who was speaking? It was Jesus Christ. So how is it possible with the question that would arise from most lips, how could they hear someone speaking but not understand? And someone might say, well, it was a different language. Maybe he was speaking in Aramaic. Maybe he was speaking in Greek and they didn't understand Greek. Maybe all kinds of possibilities, but I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's the answer of this seeming contradiction. I think the contradiction is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a fulfillment of the very things that Jesus spoke to his disciples of what would take place. So listen, if you will, as I read some verses from John chapter 6. He says, "No man," Jesus is speaking, "no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." So Jesus is telling us here that there is something very special about hearing Jesus. Something very special about hearing who he is. And that's something special, it means you're being taught of God. So these verses tell us. Not only is it very something special to be hearing Jesus that you're taught of God, it's that you're learning from the Father. You're learning directly from the Father of lights. You're learning directly from the Father in heaven. And that very special situation that you're hearing the voice of Jesus is a gift from the Father. That it has been bestowed on you to actually hear the voice of Christ. To hear His voice speaking to you. So that when you think of Saul, there on the road to Damascus, he has received a gift. He has received a gift from the Father. Not only is it a gift from the Father, but he's being taught from the Father. He is learning how to hear the voice of the Son of God. And those men that were with him had not that gift. Hadn't received that gift. They didn't learn from the Father. They weren't taught of God because they didn't hear the voice. You say, that's a strong leap. Well, let's look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, this is the famous passage of Scripture that we can think of. And we're going to read 18 verses of it, but it's important for us to understand this. Jesus is speaking again. He says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There are a lot of things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. I'm going to point out a number of them. I'm going to do it quickly, but it builds this idea that the voice of Jesus is heard by his sheep and not by those that are not his sheep. So Jesus tells us that his sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice. Saul heard his voice. Why? Because he was elect of God. Because he was one of Jesus' sheep. Those that were near him, they didn't hear the voice. They may have heard a voice, they may have heard a noise, but they certainly didn't hear the voice of the shepherd. Because the shepherd wasn't speaking to them. Not only this, Jesus calls his sheep by name. Now, that's what he's telling us here in this passage in John chapter 10. But think about this. When he speaks to Saul, what does he say? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's calling him by name. It's not just some happenstance that takes place. It's the appointed time. Jesus, the shepherd, is speaking to his sheep, Saul, on the road to Damascus and calling him to himself. He does this the same thing today. He calls his sheep by name. How is that possible? Because he leads his sheep. You think about this. Jesus does the same thing for Saul that he does for every one of his sheep. He says to Saul, go into Damascus. He tells him what to do. Go into Damascus, and it will be told you what you must do there. And then there's 3 silent days that Saul has while he's praying. waiting for more direction. The sheep follow Jesus. You notice what Saul does when Jesus speaks to him, when he hears the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus says, go into Damascus and it will be told thee what thou must do. Saul gets up and those men that are with him lead him by the hand into Damascus. And Saul waits and he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink and he prays day and night for 3 days, waiting for exactly what Jesus told him to wait for. That because it was going to be told him what he must do. Because the sheep of Jesus follow Jesus. Because the sheep of Jesus know the voice of Jesus. They know his voice. They recognize it. You know, there's that song that sounds a very little lighthearted. But when we think about it, it's true. That I hear his voice in the garden. Now, I don't hear his voice audibly. But I know my Lord. I know when he's speaking to me through his word. Through his people. I know it when he's pricking me to go in the right direction. Because we know the voice of the shepherd. We recognize him speaking to us. And we recognize that when we're hearing a message, when we're hearing someone speak, that, you know what, yeah, that's a man, but they're telling me something from the Lord. They're speaking on behalf of Jesus' sake. Those that hear the voice of Jesus shall be saved. Now, that's not a physical, audible hearing, because there were many that heard the voice of Jesus, but didn't hear the voice of Jesus, if you understand what I mean. They heard him speaking, but the words were not spirit to them. They were not spiritual to them. They were just flesh. But all those that hear his voice in the spiritual sense will be saved. You notice what he says. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. To hear the voice of Jesus is the voice of life. It's the voice of salvation. Jesus gives his sheep, those that hear his voice, abundant or eternal life. He has come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's not talking about a health and wealth gospel. That's talking about eternal life. And that's what he gives to his sheep when they hear his voice. That's what Saul received when he heard the voice of the Lord. That's Saul's conversion. At that moment, he receives eternal life. When you hear the voice of the shepherd. Why? Because Jesus gave his life for the sheep. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to give his life for every man, woman, and child that's ever been born on the planet. He came to save his people from their sins. He came to give his life for his sheep. It's a very specific statement, isn't it? But thankfully, Jesus says something to the disciples that are there listening to him. He says other sheep he has that are not of that fold. Them he also must bring. Them he also is going to call. That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy about Saul. That's a prophecy about what he's going to have Saul do. Because Saul is going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Sheep of another fold are going to be brought in because of Saul, later Paul. We sit here today because Jesus has sheep of another fold. Because I'm not Jewish. I don't know any of us that are. That means we're sheep of another fold. And he's going to bring us. He's going to bring them in. We're going to hear his voice just like Saul did. Not audibly, spiritually. We will have the same benefits as the other sheep. That we are as much, we have as much in Christ as Saul did. We have as much in Christ as Peter did. As James did, as John did. Why? Because we hear the voice of the shepherd. Because we are known of the shepherd and we know the shepherd. It's all through his voice. You hear him speaking. And Jesus laid down his life freely for his sheep. It wasn't something that was taken from him. It was given of his own will, of his own accord. But that's not where we stop. Because he goes on. And in verse 22 of John chapter 10, he says some more things around this. Because here we have the positive picture in the beginning of this chapter, and we have the picture of Saul. Someone that has heard the voice of the shepherd. Someone that has heard his name being called by the good shepherd and drawn to him in salvation for eternal life. And yet what is on the converse side of that? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So you think about those men that were there on the road to Damascus. They heard a voice. They heard a noise. They may have understood that there were words in that noise, that someone was speaking, but they didn't hear the voice. Why? Because they were not of his sheep. Just like these Pharisees, just like these Jews that are coming to contest Jesus. They come and ask Jesus, Tell us plainly if you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, I've already told you, but you haven't listened. You haven't heard. You haven't heard my voice. They didn't believe the answer before. They're not going to believe the works that he does in his Father's name. They believed not because they were not of his sheep. His sheep hear his voice. Those that are not his sheep do not hear his voice. They clearly didn't hear. They clearly didn't listen to what was being said. The same as those men on the Damascus Road. His sheep know him and are known of him. These men clearly didn't know Jesus. They didn't know anything about Jesus, and they were not known of Jesus. His sheep follow him. These men didn't follow Jesus. The men that were with Saul didn't follow Jesus. We don't know if they later came to Christ or not. We have no idea. But we know this. At the point where Saul came to Christ, they didn't. They didn't hear his voice. And then the wonderful statement of Jesus that when you are one of his, when you are known of him and he is known of you, no man can take you out of his hand. And that, not only that, if you can imagine, you're in the hand of Jesus who's in the hand of the Father. And no man can take you out of Jesus' hand, but you're also in the hand of the Father, and no man can take you out of his hand. It's eternal life. For the sheep that hear his voice, the voice of the Master, the voice of the Shepherd. You see the result of this. In verse 60 of the same chapter, in chapter 6, Jesus had been speaking, and if you recall, he had been speaking about having to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that these were spiritual words, not physical words, not fleshly words. He says, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. You see, they didn't hear his voice. They may have heard the words that he said, but it was never spirit or life unto them. They may have heard the words of Jesus, but they didn't hear the words and the voice of the Good Shepherd. And so when they heard something that was difficult, they turned away and did not follow him anymore. Why? Because they were not his sheep. They were not his people. That's the reaction he receives. His words are spirit and life, and that's always what his words are. They're spirit and life. Are you hearing it? Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? Is it life unto you? Or is it death? Are you going to turn away and walk down a different path and not pay any attention? Because it's just a noise that you hear instead of the voice of the Master. Then it's all his miracles. And you know, it's interesting, the Pharisees never denied the miracles of Jesus. They didn't say he's not able to do what he claims to have done. At no time did that take place. But they never heard his voice. His words were never spirit and life to them. And so many of his followers, they turn. They turn away. It was not given them of the Father to hear the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the Savior. What about you? You see, the seeming contradiction of verse 7 of Acts chapter 9 and verse 9 of Acts chapter 22 is not a contradiction, but it is a bearing out of the fact that the sheep of Jesus hear his voice. They hear his voice and they follow the shepherd. And they are known of the shepherd. They are called by name by the shepherd. And they know the shepherd. You know, and it's an interesting thing how Jesus speaks. Because what does he tell Saul? He tells him exactly what he can bear. He doesn't tell him more than that. Here is Saul. He's been persecuting Jesus. He's been persecuting the disciples of Christ for so long. And Jesus appears to him and he comes and he trusts the Lord. But Jesus doesn't then say, okay, Saul, now you're going to be my apostle to the Gentiles. What does he say? He asks the Lord, what will thou have me to do? And Jesus simply says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. There's time given, isn't there? We don't understand every doctrine when we come to Christ. We don't know it all. This is the same thing for the disciples. The disciples in John chapter 16, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The disciples, who had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, Jesus says, I've got many things I need to say to you, but you can't bear them now. It's too big of a burden for you to see that far down the road. It would overwhelm you. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Why? Because he's going to speak on behalf of Jesus. What the Spirit hears Jesus say, the Spirit will tell the apostles. And by the way, the promise to lead into all truth was for the disciples. Not necessarily for us. They had direct revelation from the Spirit of God. That's not something that we have other than this book. And we can study this book and we can learn of the truth. But we're fallible, aren't we? But that's why it's incumbent upon us to study this book. To show ourselves approved workmen that needed not to be ashamed. So what is he saying to us? He says very similar things. In Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. In John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You think about that. He is the one that's lifted up. He is the one to put your faith in. He is the one to listen to. He is the one to believe. He is the one to follow. He is the one to know. But yet, he still understands our frailties. He tells us in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is not a direction where we know everything that's coming our way. This is not a situation where God's Word is going to light my path for the next 30 years. No, God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It's letting me know my next few footsteps. I'll follow Him in those footsteps, and as I do, it will light the next few footsteps, and the next few footsteps as I go along, and as I follow and I listen to the voice of the shepherd. So remember how He speaks. He uses pricks, doesn't He? Just like we talked about, just like with Saul. He says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for us to do that too. It's hard for us to kick against those things that God is using to point us in the right direction. He uses His Spirit. He uses His Word. He uses His people to speak to us. But I also want you to think about this. So many today are looking for signs. And we can think of the fact that the Jews seek for a sign. And they, you know, people today are the same. They want some magical thing to take place, something supernatural to take place. But remember Elijah. In 1 Kings, chapter 19, Elijah has had victory over the prophets of Baal. And he is rejoicing, and he thinks all Israel is now going to turn to Jehovah. And Jezebel says, if this man's alive tomorrow, it will be amazing. And so he flees. And he's under the juniper tree, and the Lord, and he wants to die. Lord, just take me away. But the Lord isn't done with him, is he? And he gives him a meal, and he gives him strength in that meal for 40 days. The strength of that meal keeps him going for 40 days to go to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And he hears the voice, and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he goes out, and he's at the mouth of the cave. And suddenly, there's some events that take place. There's some things that go on. It says that a great and strong wind rent the mountains. We've been watching the past few days about the Hurricane Matthew hitting Florida and hitting Haiti and the destruction there is. But you see, the destruction there is mostly of man-made things. Here, when Elijah is standing at the mouth of the cave, the wind breaks the mountain apart. It rends the mountains, just the wind does. And yet the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, what is there? An earthquake. So the mountain is broken in pieces because of the wind, and then there's an earthquake shaking. But God's not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, it's a fire. And yet God's not in the fire. See, we always look for these great big events, these great big things to draw our attention. But where is God here for Elijah? It's a still small voice. So that after all these great big events, the wind, and imagine standing there on the mountainside in a cave and seeing the rocks tumble because of the wind and the earthquake shaking the ground your feet are upon and the fire and the heat. And then he's got to pay attention to the still small voice of the shepherd speaking to him. You know, we can look for the Lord in activity, but Elijah didn't find him there. We can look for the Lord in our circumstances, but Elijah didn't find him there. We can look for these signs, these supernatural events. Elijah didn't find him there. Elijah found him when he heard the still small voice of the shepherd speaking to him, telling him just the next thing he's got to do. Elijah's time wasn't done yet, even though Elijah thought it should be. God says, no, I've still got some things for you to do. I want you to anoint Jehu. I want you to anoint the king, next king of Syria. I want you to anoint the next prophet that's going to be in your room. You still have tasks ahead of you, Elijah. You know, you look in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, what does Jesus say over and over and over again? And he says the same thing in the Gospels. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. In Revelation, he says to the churches. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He said throughout his ministry, do you have an ear to hear? Do you have an ear that hears the voice of the shepherd? That hears the voice of the one who died to save sinners? Or is it just a noise? Is it just some random thing that takes place? Some things you have to put up with? Do you hear the voice of Jesus? If you cannot hear His voice, pray that you would. Ask God to help you hear His voice. Because outside of hearing His voice, you will die lost in eternity. You have to hear the voice of the shepherd calling. Come unto me. Pray that He'd speak your name. Pray that He would call upon you. Pray that He would continue to speak your name. Pray that you would know Him, that you'd follow Him. There's a difference between hearing a voice and hearing the voice. He points you to the Master. Amen.